Today's shiur is in Likutei Moran of Rav Nachman. So we're going to do Chelek Gimel, the third portion. The third Likud. It's speaking about the Gemara in Bava Basra. So let's read the Gemara, and it's brought the Rashbam, and Rav Nachman's going to explain that Gemara. It says like this. Amar Rabba Baba Chana. This is a famous Gemara in Bava Basra. The statements of Rabba Baba Chana. Lididi, says Rabba Baba Chana, Lididi, for me, Chazili, Chazi means it was seen to me, Hahi Akra'uta, a certain Akra'uta. What's an Akra'uta? Akra'uta, says the Rashbam, is a Sfaradeya, is a frog. I saw this frog. Now, the Lashon for a frog in Aramaic is Akra'uta. Akra'uta is a Lashon of Kara, Lashon of calling. Because a frog like, you know, how do you say it? Frog like a croak. What's it? Croaks. Frog croaks. Right? So it's called calling, a caller like sort of thing. Dahavi ki akra dahanguria. And it was the size, akra is, again, we're using the notion of calling, but it's akra here means a city the size of Hungoria. Hungoria, gagrona, hangrona. Garon in Hebrew means the neck, the garon. But it was the size of this city. Va'akra the hangrona, and the size of hangrona, kamahavi. What was the size of Angrona? Shitin Bate. It was 60 houses. So here we have a frog. We saw a frog that was the size of a city of 60 houses.
The frog was right.
The Rashbam says a very interesting thing here. He says, Havu Shitin Bate Tel Talmuda Ka'amala. The Talmud says this. The Gemara says how big it was. This isn't Rabba saying that, the Talmud says it. But it's interesting that he tells us Talmuda Ka'amala. Why is the Rashbam saying Talmuda? So there's a hint here to the Talmud. There's a hint here to the Torah Shebaal Peh. These shitin houses of Hangruna is, we're going to see later on, there's 60 Masechtas. So that's what the Rashbam, when he says here, he says Talmuda Ka'amala. This is the Talmud. You understand? So there's a hint here to the Talmud. The 60 Masechtas in the Talmud. Let's see if nothing's going to explain soon. Then what happens? Ata Tanina. Came a Tanina. What's a Tanin? It's a snake. Like a crocodile snake. Tanin we see by Paro. Right? It's like a snake. Bala. And it swallowed this big frog. Okay. Here, the Rashbam says, Rabba Ka'amala. Rabba told us this. Why needs to tell us that? Okay. Next, the Gemara says, Ata Pushkan Tsa Ubala Latanina. Came a Pushkan Tsa. What's a Pushkan Tsa? Rashbam tells me, an Orev. Nekeva, a female raven, right? And swallowed this tanin, this snake. Usalik, and it went up, this raven. Yativ bi'ilana, and it sat on the tree. Tachazi, and now Rava speaking. Tachazi, come and see, kama nafish, how big, chele de ilana. How big is the strength of this tree? The strength of this tree, why so strong? Because it's holding this raven who ate this snake, who ate this giant frog, I mean the snake must be pretty giant as well, of 60 houses. And now this gigantic, must be raven, who ate this gigantic snake, this gigantic frog, is sitting on a tree. So we see the strength of the tree. So somehow here, the tree represents some very strong thing, right? So what is this all talking about? Hine, says Rav Nachman, Mi sheshomea negina menagen rasha, mi menagen rasha. Someone who hears a song from a singer who's a rasha, who's a bad person, kashela la'avodat habore. It's hard for him in the service of God. Because sheshomea, when he hears, mi menagen kasher v'hagun, from someone who's singing, who's proper and eligible, he's a proper person, tzaddik, azai tovlo, then it's good for him, kamo shidbe, like I'm going to explain. So first of all, Rav Nachman's coming to tell you, there's two types of songs in the world. There's the song of the Rasha, and there's the song of the Kasher v'Hagun, the Tzaddik. The song of the Rasha is difficult for him to serve Hashem. The song of the Tzaddik, he feels good. Yeah? He feels good about himself. So, first we've been told there's two types of songs, which is interesting. Now, Kihine kol hanagina, the kol. Kol doesn't mean words. Kol means the voice, not the voice of words. Like you learn kol shofar. Kol always represents something pnimi. It's not words. It's just like a song, a voice. Kol hanagina nimshechet minatziporim. The kol of song comes from tziporim, birds. Kide'ita b'midrash. He brings a rhyme from the midrashim. You know what a midrash is? A midrash in Vayikra, right? Speaking about Vayikra, speaking about the Metzora, Parshas Metzora. You know about the spiritual leprosy of the Metzora? You've heard of that? If the Metzora speaks Lashon Hara, if a person speaks Lashon Hara, he gets, you know what Lashon Hara is? Bad speech. He speaks badly about a person. He gets, in the time of Chazal, when we were a much higher spiritual level, he would get spiritual leprosy. It's not leprosy, what we talk about today. It's spiritual, I don't have to call it in English, that's what they call it in English, but it's a spiritual disease of his skin, and he has to be separated from the Jewish people. And there's a whole parasha of the laws of the leprosy, of this spiritual leprosy, called Metzora, right? Metzora means Meitzara, right? It's because he's in a place, in a small, confined place of Ra, right? Because the essence of a human being is what makes a human being different from an animal? So we learn Chumash. In Chumash it says, Vayipach ba'apav nishmat chayim. God blew in him the neshama, the soul of life. Says Unklus, how is that expressed in a human being? Ruach malala. He has the spirit of speech. Now it doesn't mean speech. You know, like dolphins also speak. Like, that's a great fish over there, let's go for it, right? Or a cow will say, wow, this hay is great, let's eat some hay, right? Human speech is creative speech, a speech of connection to your creator. Man, when he was given speech, as soon as he was created, prayed to his creator. That's why the Gemara in Baba Kama says that man is called, the name for man is Boye. Boye means tefillah, means davening, means Torah. The call, the inner call of man, the speech of man, is to connect to his creator and to connect to his fellow man on a deeper level. Not on the level of collectively finding food or other things like that. Or collectively finding, having fun or fulfilling their needs, their physical needs. Man's creativity in terms of his speech and his terms of communication, that's what defines man. You understand? So now the Midrash says, "Mipnei ma metzora tarato tluya b'shtei tziporim." Why is his purity dependent on these two birds that have come? So how does the metzora get pure? After he spends the 7 days, etc., he brings a korban, and part of the korban is two birds. One's shechted and poured the blood into an earthenware vessel which has mayim chayim, life water from a spring, and then dip the other tzipor in it, and he's set free, and he chirps. So why is it dependent on these two tziporim, chayot tohoro? They have to be alive and pure birds. Yavo kalanya, will come the call, the voice of the kaper al kalanya, will come the voice of these birds, and will be a kapara on the voice of this tzipor, of this, sorry, this metzora, who spoke Lashon Hara, spoke bad words. A metzora is someone who speaks bad tongue. He speaks badly about another person. So his kapar, his avera, is associated with his speech. He didn't speak like a man was supposed to speak. He lost his essence. So Rav Nachman wants to show us that the source of good words, of proper words, comes from the tzipor, comes from the bird, the kosher, the tahor bird, the pure birds. They speak proper speech. Like in there's midrashim, they're praising the praise of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what the tziporim are doing, right? So now, he's bringing us a proof for that, that we see that the kapara, the atonement of this mitzvah, is bringing these two kosher birds, and by they speaking, by the one being set free and him chirping and speaking the praise of the Kodesh Baruch, so to speak, he is the atonement of this mitzvah. In other words, his speech, his call, the speech of the sipur, is the opposite of the speech of the mitzvah, of the person who has a spiritual leprosy. And so when he speaks praises of God, he's atoning for the sin of the person who spoke bad about his fellow man, which is a negation of his divine essence. So the tzipur comes to speak praises of God and to show this mitzvah that now that's what he should be doing. If he speaks bad speech, then that causes death. That caused the death of that one tzipor, the one whose blood was put into the water. And the tzipor who speaks proper words, he's the one that goes free and continues to live, because he's expressing his proper essence, which is the praise of his Creator. So that's how this tzipor is the atonement. So that's the proof Rav Nachman brings from this midrash, that the source of proper speech or proper voice is the tzipor, is the bird. So Rav Nachman explains, Kinilka Machmat Koro, this mitzvah was got this leprosy because of his bad speech, his bad voice. Shidibe Loshon Hara, he spoke bad words. Nimsa Mishuhu Kasha, someone who's proper. Nimshechet Hanagina Shelo Minashtei Tziporim Chayot Te'orot. The person who's a proper person and he has a proper voice, speech, his speech comes from these two birds, right, that came to fix this mitzvah, these two pure birds. That means a tzaddik speech comes from the speech of these two birds. So we know there's these two birds. What are these two birds? Tuba Zohar. You've heard of the Zohar? The Zohar is written by Rav Shimon bar Yochai. It's the first book that we have of Kabbalah. You heard of the Zohar, right? Shashtei Tziporim. These two birds, what do they represent? Yonkim Ma'ata Denevim Yonkim. They draw their spiritual strength from the place of Nevuah, from the place that our prophecy comes from. So these two birds, the proper speech of these two birds, draws its energy, draws its spiritual energy from the place where prophecy comes from. Okay? So we understand now something. We're understanding that song is not just song. Song, its source, proper song, is from a place of prophecy.
Song of birds.
Song of birds, but song of man. Proper praise of man. What's the proper praise of man? Tefillah. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that when you daven to your Creator, when you pray to your Creator, you have, you can get to the level of hitpashtus aguf, that your body is removed from you, and you come to the level of nevuah. The Arizal, when he wrote his Eitz Chaim, and he wrote his kavanas of the Eitz Chaim, that was to bring our tefillah to the level of prophecy, as much as man can do. Ordinary, well, I don't know how ordinary, but man can reach. Okay? In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there were groups of prophets, and they used to go around. David HaMelech, you heard of David HaMelech? David HaMelech. So, and the Rambam brings this to halacha, that a person gets to Nevuah only through proper joy, through simcha. And that simcha comes through song. That's why David HaMelech had a harp, or I don't think it was a harp, it was like a kino, I don't know how you'd say it in English. A certain kli vessel that he used to, after chatzot, used to sing the praises of God. And through that, he got to the level of prophecy. Okay, so song isn't a simple thing. But remember, there's two types of song. There's song to bring you to high levels of prophecy, and the song which brings you to the song of the Rasha, the lower song, the bass song. You know, they say these African bands is like based on the African jungle, served idol worship. So the bass song, you know, these boom boom booms, is to express the body. The body gets expression, the body's released. You know, that's what these discos are about. The body's released, it becomes more physical. That's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is when the body doesn't have any inhibitions. And the lower song of the Rasha is to remove the inhibitions of the body. But okay. Lekach, therefore, Nikra HaMenagin, the person who says the proper song, like when you pray, the person who's called, the person, the Shliach Tzibur, there's another name for him in Chazal. The person who prays from the Amud and he sings like on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, one of the rabbis, probably Rabbi Orach, will sing, he has a beautiful voice. He's called the Chazan. The Chazan, the person who sings the praise of the Kodesh Baruch, is called the Chazan. Why is he called the Chazan? So Nachman says, Miloshen Chazon. Chazon means vision, the vision of prophecy. Hainu Loshen Nevuah, that's the Loshen of prophecy. Ki lokeach hanegina, because the song of the Shliach Tzibur, the song of the Chazan, mi'ated de neviim yonkin, it comes from a place of prophecy. It means when you're davening and the Chazan sings Al Chadodi, who sings in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that song is, and you connect to that song, that song is an uplifting song of prophecy, or it comes from the place of prophecy. That's a place, it's basically Tzipor Deah. I'm going to explain it soon. Tzipor Deah, the Sfardeah, represents these two Tziporim, that you're yearning from these two Tziporim. Deah, Loshen Deah means, when it says in Chumash, it says, the man and woman connected, what's the Loshen for that? It says, and man knew, v'yidah is knowledge, he knew Chava Ishto. Deah means connection, proper connection. So Tzfardeah represents the proper connection to the world of Nevuah. That's what Tzfardeah represents. Okay? The Kisha HaMenagin Hu Rasha. When the person singing the song is the song of a Rasha, Azihu Lokeach HaNagina, he takes the song Shelo Mitzipori Macherot, he takes it from different birds. Shebe Klipa. The Klipa represents the shell. The shell represents always the Ra in the world. Let me explain something.
The
Ra, the evil in the world. Why is a shell representing the Ra? So let me explain to you. Before man sinned, he was in a body, but his body was like a garment. He would remove himself from the body and fly. Not fly like we think fly, not like Superman flying. Fly in the spiritual world. So he would go to different spiritual worlds. He wasn't bound by his body. After he sinned, his body became much, much more physical, and he couldn't completely be removed from his body. His body became what's called a klipa, became a shell. That's why this concept of ken siponaim came, like it was ketonet or. He had a body of or of light, and then it became ketonet or, became a body of skin. And Chazal said us that it represents siponaim, the fingernails, right? Why is fingernails? That's why Havdalah used fingernails and stuff like that. We're not going to do that yet. When we get to Havdalah, we'll explain the concept of fingernails. And if we understand a little bit more, tzipo naim. It's also tzipo. But there's a naim there. What's that doing? You understand? We're not going to do tzipo naim now. Tziporin. Tzipo nun. Tzipo nun means the bird gets connected to the nun. What's the nun? What does nun represent? Nun represents, we have 50 days to get to Matan Torah. You know that? From after Pesach, we count 50 days, Sfiras HaOmer, we get Torah was given on the 50th day. 50 represents the 50th level, the highest level man can reach, which is Matan Torah, which is the 50th levels of knowledge. Okay, that's the nun. But just as it's a nun to the 50th level of knowledge, there has to be equality in the world. There's nun, the higher nun, and there's the lower nun. The nun which represents the lower worlds, the 50th levels of impurity. So when the tzipor connects to the nun, it's connecting to the lower nun, and that's why his ketonet or his body of light became a body of flesh, of tziporin, of that call of man was taken and became his physicality. Man lost his spiritual body and he got the klipa, a vessel, a shell of nails, which represent the lower worlds. The higher world was then connected to the lower worlds. That's what Tziporin represents. You understand? You understand that? So, now when we speak about evil, evil is always called a shell. Why is it evil always called a shell? Because there's no real such thing as evil. Evil is just a shell. The pnim, the internality of everything in the world, of every human being, is his soul, or the soul of the world, so to speak, which is Kodesh Baruch Hu. The shorish, the source of everything, is intrinsically good. If we see bad, it's just a surface shell. So that's why the evil is called a shell, because it's not really a reality. It's a seeming reality. It's a, when God's hidden behind this shell, so the shell seems to be a bad or a dark place. You with me? Make sense to you?